This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is brought to you in part by our friends at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your school spirit all season long. With over 30 schools to choose from, they've got you covered with all your collegiate apparel needs. Shop today at www.charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh.
Current and former athletes, members of the athletic department, and of course the best fans in the country all make up a very special group we like to call the Cyclone Family. Join me, Jamie Steyer Johnson, as I bring you closer to the people that make Iowa State unique each week on the Cyclone Family podcast. Some names you may know, while others may be new to you, but one thing's for sure, this is one family reunion you won't want to miss. Each week on the Cyclone Family podcast.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Modern Appalachian Kitchen. A small, local Morgantown business is giving WVU fans and Morgantown something to talk about. This local candy kitchen is home to the marshmallow couch. That's right. Now you can relive the infamous WVU winning celebration with a couch that you can eat instead of catching on fire in the middle of the street. Order your marshmallow couch and other sweet treats at modernappalachiankitchen.com. We are part of the 1012 Patreon. Please be a part of our 1012 Patreon where you can get behind the scenes information, show participation, and other things. It is www.patreon.com/1012network. Thanks everyone for listening and supporting the Raspy Voice Kids.
This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, joined by my brother,
Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix. I'm in the building.
We are back. We are better than ever. We are the Raspy Voice Kids. You are now tuned into the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for tuning in for another week of the RVK. Jerry, what do you have to say?
About the game?
I mean, about anything. This is our show. Whatever you want to talk about.
I feel like you're just tossing it up. I feel like sometimes you need to set it. That right there, you didn't set it right there. That was more like a soccer throw-in. Go where you want with it.
Well, where you want to go. Let's talk Texas Tech, the review. We're going to review the Red Raiders win that WVU got this weekend, 20-13 over the Red Raiders in Morgantown. Three wins in a row. For Neil Brown, the first time since 2018 for the Mountaineers, the first time that Neil Brown has done that as the West Virginia head coach, the first time he's beaten the Texas Tech Red Raiders as the head coach of WVU. Jeremy, what do you think about Neil Brown? What do you think about this West Virginia team? What do you think about the Mountaineers?
Win the games you can. In the words of the old Jets coach, Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Now, I said this a couple weeks ago about the Pitt game, and I was like, we're not grading on a scale. This is pass or fail. And what I figured out last week, Brandon, against Texas Tech is that's what the rest of the season's going to be. It's pass or fail. I don't care if we're looking better. My decision about Neil Brown has already been made. Hopefully, I look stupid at the end of this. So right now, I'm rooting just for wins. Pass or fail. And against Texas Tech, whatever happened, we passed. We absolutely passed, Brandon.
Not the ball. Not the ball, but the test.
Yes, not the ball, but the test. And that's all I care about. Look, for the longest time, we've said you have to win the games you can. And in these last two games against Pitt and Texas Tech, those are two games that we definitely could have won, and we did win. And that is the difference between 5-7 seasons and 7-5 seasons. It doesn't seem that big of a deal, but one time you go bowling, one time you don't. So many times in the past few years, we haven't got to those six wins that we needed. So winning these last two games, which were close games, I don't care what, I know we held them down on defense, but overall, we didn't win by a bunch of scores. These last two games are close games that we could win, that we have won, and that is growth that I like to see. Not that I'm putting any stock in growth, because once again, my decision has been made, but I'm happy to see the W. We are 3-1, and I am proud of that, and we need three more wins to go bowling.
Three more wins, and that definitely seems achievable. We will talk about the schedule later on in the podcast. Right now, we're going to talk about Texas Tech. Jeremy, this defense looks formidable. That's my sign. That's what I took away from it. Pitt went out against North Carolina and scored 21 points, I believe. Maybe 24. But let me look and make sure. Because I'm talking, I want to be right. Pitt, North Carolina. The score was 41-24. They were tied at the end of the first quarter. They scored 10 points in the second quarter. We held them to six. They scored 24 against North Carolina, who's ranked number 15 in the country. We held Texas Tech, who had been averaging 30-plus points a game, to 13. This defense looked formidable. And I saw your tweet. Shouts to Jordan Leslie. Your tweet was wonderful because he deserves the credit. People wanted to fire him after essentially only one really bad season. Jordan Leslie is a good defensive coordinator, and he's proving it right now. Now, I know we have not played any, we haven't done well against the best team that we played. We did not do well against Penn State. And I know that we haven't played any other juggernauts yet, but that doesn't matter. What he's doing is winning against the teams he's supposed to win against.
Brandon, all I can say about West Virginia's season so far is it's not a fluke. It's not a fluke. People are going to say, what are you talking about? It's not a fluke. If you look at our defense played pretty well against Penn State until they scored the late score touchdown. We only gave up 31. We lost by 16 until they scored the late score touchdown. Our defense has showed against Pitt and Texas Tech, especially Texas Tech, who is a higher-powered offense, that we can play defense. That yes. Our guys can rally around, that our guys can tackle, that our secondary is a lot better. You don't believe me? Look at the third down stats by themselves, Brandon. Do you know what we are overall on third down on defense through the four games?
For the season? No, I don't. I know we were the last game. I don't know for the season.
We have given up 14 of 55 third downs. Is that a crazy stat to you? 14 of 55 third downs?
That's a great stat.
And you can say, well, Penn State, what happened? Penn State, we only gave up 3 of 9. We gave up 5 of 16 to Duquesne, 4 of 12 to Pitt, and 2 of 18 to Texas Tech. 14 of 25% on third down. Matter of fact, if this was one team stats in the entire country, if they were 14 of 55, they would rank right now 128th in the country with only FIU at 24%, Eastern Michigan at 24%, and Charlotte at 24%. That's how good our defense has been. That's how good Jordan Leslie has been. And don't get it. I was down on him too, Brandon. Last year was a rough year. Penn State to start out the year, giving up 31. Whew, I was a little... Brandon, he is showing that he's a good defensive coordinator, and I'm glad that he's here. You know, but not only that, hold on real quick, but not only that, when I say we are not a fluke, defensively we are not a fluke, and offensively we are not a fluke. We have no offense.
None.
Whether it's Penn State, whether it's Pitt, whether it's Texas Tech, we are who we are. Believe what your eyes tell you. We are a running team. We are Army, Navy, whoever possesses the ball. Against Penn State, we held the ball three more minutes than them. We held the ball one more minute than Duquesne. We held the ball seven more minutes than Pitt. We held the ball nine more minutes than Texas Tech. Brandon, that's almost 20 minutes. That's over a quarter. That's close to a quarter and a half that we've had the ball more than the opponents have had the ball. That's important. When you play good defense, you have a good offensive line that can sustain drives and possess the ball. That's who we are. We are not a fluke. Trust your eyes. We stink on offense. We can run the ball. They're going to load the box, but we cannot throw the ball. But we also are playing some elite defense. And Brandon, it just makes you feel, I know I've said this before, I go back to the old Friday reference. Why can't we ever have two things at the same time? Yes.
Yeah.
Why can't we have peanut butter but no jelly? Kool-Aid but no sugar? Ham, no burger. Why can we never have the same thing at the same time? We always have one or the other. But either way, it doesn't matter. What I care about is winning. W's or L's. We are 3-1. Take pride in that, and that's where we are.
I like the stat that I like that jumped out at me is what we're doing to quarterback's efficiency. We held Jerkovic, whatever you want to, however you want to say his name, to 8 of 20. We held Baron Morton to 13 of 37. Tyler Shuck was 2 of 6 before he went out with an injury. That's 23 of 63. That's 37% in the last two games against against Texas Tech, who's got actual legitimate quarterbacks. Baron Morton, yes, he's the backup. Yes, he was thrown in last second against us. We're not doing anything crazy different defensively. I mean, we are doing things differently, but not crazy differently because it's still Jordan Dudley, a defensive coordinator. And Baron Morton threw for over 330 yards on us last year. This year, he threw for 158 yards, terribly inefficient, only one touchdown. The defense is legit. It's formidable. It is a problem. It is something that every team that comes against us is going to have to deal with. And we're not a joke anymore on the defensive side of the ball. We're not a joke anymore. I love it. I would love it more if, like you said, we had the offense to go with it. But the truth is, I can live without that as long as we win the game. And it's going to be
Brandon, but here's my question. I was laying in bed the other night and I was thinking, am I maturing? You know, sometimes you have those like reflections and you think to yourself, maybe I'm maturing because like, I love college football, but it doesn't, you know, pull me up or pull me down or raise me up as much as it used to. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, I was like, is this because I'm maturing or is this because my expectations are so low? I'm serious. I laid in bed trying to figure it out. Is it because I'm actually realizing that sports doesn't matter as much as I have always made it matter in my life? Or is it because I just don't expect much of my team right now?
Jeremy, we have been beaten down. We have been trampled upon. We have been ridden on by the Neil Brown show. And I'm not talking about his radio show. I'm talking about the climb that was supposed to be going up has been steadily going down for the last 4 years, 5 years, really. And this is what I'm worried about. And we can talk about this now. We talked about Texas Tech. We gave our thoughts and opinions. You know what? No, let's continue talking about Texas Tech first. Do you know who our leading rusher was in the Texas Tech game?
I have no clue.
Nico Markiel, 15 carries for 72 yards, averaged almost 5 yards a carry. Do you know who had who was tied for the most carries with him?
Who?
C.J. Donaldson. He also had 15 carries. There's no way Nico and C.J. Donaldson should have the same amount of carries. Now, what you might argue is that it was working because C.J. only averaged 3.2 yards per carry, where Nico averaged 4.8, but you got to pound the rock more. There was a series, a critical series, late in the game where there were three passes. We went three and out. We had no runs. I don't understand Neil Brown's play calling.
Hold up. But you said we had three passes, no runs. Brandon, honestly, I don't know if we can run the ball any more than when we're running the ball. I don't know percentage-wise, but we are running the heck out of the ball. We're not even daring to throw the ball down the field.
No. Did you hear that?
What'd you say?
No, nothing. No. We may not be daring to throw the ball downfield. We did a couple times. Nico missed wide open Hudson Clement. That would have been a touchdown on a deep throw. Nico is a redshirt freshman. Thank you.
No, I'm going to cut you off because I was going to ask this question. I was waiting for a good proper time. Brandon, what do you think about Nico? Nico chomping at the bit for the job. Felt like he may have won the job in the springtime.
No, he did not. He definitely did not win the job in the springtime. I wasn't there, but I heard from multiple reporters, people who were watching practices, that he did not win the job. And definitely did not win it in the spring.
He may have felt that he won the job. But anyway,
okay.
What are you thinking of Nico in his first start? And I know, I know the pick game was not a start, but it was in the beginning of the first quarter. It pretty much was his game.
I feel like he's a great stopgap. He's got the moxie that you want to see in a backup quarterback. He's got some of the intangibles that you want to see in a quarterback. He's not quite ready to be the man. When Garrett Green comes back, he should be the starting quarterback. That's how I feel. And I like Nico. I like Nico, and I think he could be the future. I think he could be a star in the future. I don't think he's quite ready.
But my only question is this, and we're talking real talk right here. This is what we do at the RVK, real talk. Brandon, when have you seen the Neil Brown coaching staff develop a quarterback to be better than what he was even a year before in the past?
You're right. They never do get better. Which is part of why I think that Garrett Green's your guy, because what's going to work is running the football. What's going to work is yards on the ground, the threat with the RPO, making them load the box and beating them over the top. And Garrett Green does that better than Nico, in my estimation.
And what I will say about Garrett Green is you can say a lot of things. And I know that Neil Brown has a lot of years to develop quarterbacks to show us. But with Garrett Green in particular, you can say right now, I want to see what Garrett Green looks like against a defense that isn't Penn State. Because it was very early on in the Pitt game where he went out. So all we saw was him against maybe a college football playoff team and Penn State that has NFL players. And maybe that's changed the direction of the offense where, hey, we have to...
We saw him against Duquesne.
Nah, but Duquesne doesn't count. I'm sorry, Duquesne doesn't count.
It doesn't.
So maybe you could say, I want to see Garrett Green against a real defense. And maybe he looks different when he's not going against a top 10 defense like Penn State, maybe.
So you're on the Nico train.
I'm on the neither one train, but if you... I'm just saying, we'll see, because I don't know, like, Nico didn't... Brandon, I watched the game, and Nico, and granted, this is only his first start. Really, I call it his second start, because
he came in very early against Penn State. So what? He did not get reps with the ones all week. This is different mental preparation. This is different physical preparation. Film is different. All that stuff is different. And the other thing that's different is the defense had not prepared for Nico Markiel like they did this week.
So that's why I would say. In his first start, he does what a lot of young dudes do. They're not necessarily reading the defense after the snap. They'll read it pre-snap. And pre-snap, they'll decide where the ball's going to go.
Yes.
And wherever they decide the ball's going to go, that's where it's going to go. They're not actually going through the progressions to see what is open. He figures out what's open. The interception he threw was a perfect example of that. He read that pre-snap. Before he ever snapped the ball, he knew where he was going. He knew where he was throwing. And he threw it even though his receiver was not open, because that was a pre-snap read. He's not going through his progressions. Now, maybe, look, this is his first game. He's a young kid. He has moxie. I love his fight. I love his grit. I love his heart. Just like Garrett Green, both them dudes have a lot of heart. Got a lot of heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I need to see that you can go through your progressions. And, you know, that's what you pick up in time. So hopefully they pick him up in time. The most important thing is, whether you pick it up in time or not, he got the win. He's a winner. Got another win.
That's what I like about Nico. Nico's a winner. Nico, that's the most important attribute about Nico. He's a winner. And he seems to be a leader. Those are the two qualities you want in a quarterback.
Both.
Winners,
yep,
leaders. Both. And he seems to be both of those things.
But Garrett seems that way too. Winner and a leader.
Winner and a leader. And so that's what I like most about these guys. That's what they have. Three in a row for the Mountaineers. Finally got the monkey off her back with Texas Tech. Shout to all the guys who put in the work and got it done. Neil Brown gets it done. He ultimately gets the credit because when they lose, ultimately he gets the blame. Now that we're
Brandon,
done.
Brandon, hold on. No. You know how good Neil Brown's feeling right now.
Jeremy, I
watch him walk off the field. I just look at his face. Brandon, this man.
He feels so vindicated.
This man just feels like we do when we get a bonus check from work that we didn't know we were getting. Like, this Neil Brown, man is feeling Neil
Brown,
good.
Neil Brown feels so vindicated after every win. You would think that he just finished a 10-win season. You hear him in the press conference. He talks like he has completed something. And I hope. And now the good thing is, Neil Brown does not seem like the kind of guy to rest on his laurels. So he continues to move forward with the team, which is good. But I wish he could be a little more humble in these press conferences, but Brandon, whatever.
Brandon, now I understand there's a lot of heat on him. A lot of heat. He's just like Ryan Day.
He earned that heat.
Okay, there's a lot of heat. So when you start winning, Brandon, I just saw on his face. I've never seen somebody look so happy and so relieved, but also so wanting to point in people's faces. Look, go for it, Neil. Neil, point in people's faces. Look, just let it out, baby.
Let it all out. Now, you were talking about whether or not you had matured or whether or not you had just faced the reality of dealing with a team that's beating you down. And Jeremy, I'm here to tell you, you've been beaten down. You have been oppressed by this Mountaineer football team. No,
I
Mountaineer
know you
sports.
Hold up. I know you ain't telling me that.
No, I know.
I know you ain't telling me that.
We have, as Mountaineer Nation, we have been oppressed by the heavy yoke of Mountaineer sports. And it has beaten us down into almost submission. Some of us have submitted. If you look at Twitter, some of us have submitted. Some of us have given in to the thoughts and feelings that mediocrity should be accepted, that subpar should be celebrated. And I do believe that if you watch, it's why so many people are excited, overly excited, about the three wins that we have so far. That combined with the trash that is the Big 12 Conference has made people's expectations and excitement off the charts.
Absolutely refuse. Absolutely excrement.
Burn pile.
The Big 12 Conference.
Yeah, burn pile.
Well, there's a few teams that aren't, but we only play one of them that is, okay?
Jeremy, there are two teams that aren't. Because Kansas State lost to Mizzou. And Mizzou is
I was going to say Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma.
I'm not even sure about Kansas. Kansas had lightweight struggle with Illinois. I'm not 100% sold on Kansas.
Kansas doesn't matter because we don't play them.
Neither does Texas because we don't play them either.
Neither does Texas. We got Oklahoma. That's who we have.
And Oklahoma, in my opinion, is beatable. Now, we won't beat them.
No, I was gonna say. No, when you say they're beatable, I swear to goodness, I was gonna say, for Florida State.
Yes. They're beatable, but not for us.
My goodness, Brandon, that's an L. I know people are thinking, I get so tired of their negativity. It's not negativity. It's realness. You can't handle it. Get out the kitchen. Like, I'm being for real. Don't get your hopes up. I know. Okay. Oh, you said we're going to lose Texas Tech too. Yeah, I thought we were. We didn't. Okay. Whatever. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Not whatever. I'm happy we didn't. I celebrated on Saturday night, and I will continue to celebrate.
But I'm also saying whatever. No, but I'm also saying whatever. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the past 4 years. I guess I should have expected us to go undefeated. What am I? Am I some stupid person who never makes adjustments? No. Look, I've seen what we have. I've seen what we presented. So I picked Texas Tech. I was wrong. We came out and played ball. Shout out to Jordan Leslie yet again. Because like I said, and I've said this more times than I've hated on him, that he presents a defense that's usually respectable. And once again, we're here. So yep. I hope he doesn't embarrass me next week against TCU. But last year, even though they were the national runner-up, we played them to the end.
We played them tough. And if it wasn't for a late touchdown, it would have been, a one-score game, maybe.
You look at the schedule before the season, you look and you're like, wow, man, we got 11 or 12 Power 5 conferences. Oh, man, this is a gauntlet. Now you look at our refuse Big 12 schedule, and it's kind of favorable.
Well, do you want to hear
Oklahoma?
Do you want to hear the ESPN Football Power Index game by game prediction?
All right, go ahead. Let's do it.
September 30th at TCU, the ESPN FPI gives us a 22.6% chance to beat TCU. So that's a loss, and a certainty.
Yeah.
Houston, we have a 53.8% chance to win on the road. I think that's low.
Me too.
I think we beat Houston. I think we beat Houston easily. Now, that's a terrible thing for me to say, because even Pitt we struggled with, and that's on the road, so I shouldn't take it easily, but I think we beat Houston. On October 21st, at home against Oklahoma State, the Fighting Mike Gundys, we have a 66.4% chance to win. And I agree with that, because Oklahoma State is a mess. They're a mess at quarterback, they're a mess on offense. They're a mess in that locker room. That should be a definite win. So there's two wins in a row again.
No, Brandon, if this was Kids Bop, the song would be called They're Full of Chips. Like Oklahoma State is full of chips. They really are.
Then on October 28th, we go on the road to UCF for their homecoming game, which to me is disrespectful. And we have a 23% chance to win that game at the Bounce House.
And by the way, I agree with that, and I think that's going to be live. You know how many West Virginia fans are going to be in Orlando? Because they love going to Orlando anyway. There's Disney World.
Yeah.
Like, UCF, like, I think that's going to be a huge game, and I can see the Bounce House is going to be tough to play in.
Then, on November 4th, at home against BYU, the FPI gives us a 67.4% chance to beat BYU. That surprises me. I can't believe it's that high. It's higher.
Brandon, do you see how many games they have predicted for us to win? That just lets you know our conference schedule is trash. Okay?
Yeah, I cannot believe we have Jeremy, that's the highest left on the schedule that we have, highest percentage chance, according to ESPN FBI, to win for the rest of the season is against BYU at home. Then the lowest chance to win is November 11th at OU, 5.6% chance. OU's defense looks significantly faster than it did last year. It looks significantly more locked in, but Dylan Gabriel is not very accurate. We can make him look pedestrian with our defense. I'm telling
this
you.
It's true.
You might sneak.
Well, I'm saying 2 years ago, we should have beat them in Norman. 2 years ago, we should have beat them in Norman. Brandon, how good would it feel? Here's two things. The first thing is, how good would it feel if we beat Oklahoma 2 years in a row?
So good. To end their tenure in the Big 12, it would feel wonderful.
The second thing is this. How does the whole narrative of this season change if we beat TCU Saturday?
I don't think the whole narrative changes.
We're 4-1. We beat TCU, and we have two cupcakes up next. We have Houston, then Oklahoma State. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Okie Light.
Yeah, you're right. Because then we're staring down 6-1. You're right.
I mean,
with the chance that
what kind of Dougie is Neil Brown going to do?
Oh my, Jerry! I'm imagining Neil Brown hitting the Dougie right now. No, the Baltimore strut. He's hitting the Baltimore strut at the 50-yard line right now on his way out to do the handshake.
No, I mean, I'm just serious. Like, the trajectory, the rhetoric. the way people are talking about the program, if Neil Brown can somehow pull off this win against TCU, I feel like he's a bit like Kanye.
All right, let's. Okay.
You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Let's finish this. Okay, so then we got Cincinnati on November 18th. The FPI gives us a 46.6% chance to win at home. So that's about a toss-up, a 50-50 chance at home against Cincinnati. But that'll be late in the season. I don't know that Cincinnati is Power 5, Big 12 ready. I don't know that they have the depth. I don't know that they're going to be...
There you go. The depth, yeah. Yeah, the depth...
On the second to last game of the season, I don't know. I mean, that's where it hurt us in our first year in the Big 12. It may come back to haunt them the same way. But we'll find out. So I originally picked us to lose that game. My revised before this podcast, not today, not on this podcast, but when we did this before the season, when I picked us to go 5-7, because that was my prediction, 5-7, Cincinnati was one of those wins. And then we end the season in Waco at Baylor. The FPI gives us a 56.8% chance to beat Dave Aranda and his boys.
And Baylor seems like they don't care. I don't know what happened. I don't know what scandal is going to come out in 2 years, but they seem like they don't care down there in Baylor.
So the FPI has us going 7-5 at this point, with a good chance of going 8-4. So that would be a good season for Neil. And shout out to Chris Hall from West Virginia Sports Illustrated. He predicted that West Virginia would go 8-4. And he predicted it partially because of the schedule. He did not believe the schedule was going to be that tough, and it turned out.
Can you please
quit?
Don't shout him out. Wait. Chris, what did Chris pick last year and the year before? He's a cosmic Mountaineer head, Homer. He's always going to pick us to have a great year.
Well, he picked right this year so far. It looked like
just like he picked he could beat me in golf. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he did one time. But nah, we going to play again, though.
So it's looking up for the Mountaineers. It's exciting. It's so much more fun when we win football games. It's so much more fun when we win basketball games, baseball games, soccer games, all of that. It's so much more fun when we win. So thank you to WVU football for putting us in that win column another week this season. It feels good. It feels good. Good teams win, great teams cover, and amen. It was so great to sing our song.
And so sorry for everybody who stayed up to watch that Ohio State Notre Dame game. You should have went to sleep.
But Jeremy, some people hate Notre Dame. You have to remember that.
Oh, I forgot that. No, I say what I feel like saying, okay?
Yeah, but you're saying it on behalf of people who may not feel the same as you.
Oh, you?
No, all I'm saying is if you feel that way, then I understand how you feeling that way, but don't say
so. Hold up. I said it for myself. I was like, hey, I'm sorry that you said you're saying it in behalf of
people. No, you said you should have went to bed, but if they were happy that Ohio State won, because there's a lot of our listeners, especially in Parkersburg, who are Ohio State fans. Like, I have people that I see on a regular basis who listen to our show who are Ohio State fans. I don't get it, but they are. Daniel Barney is the first one that jumps out at me.
Loser. sorry, Daniel. Daniel, I'm a hater just because I wish that we had a tradition like that. But we're going to get there. And also, last little thing to make everybody feel a little better. Should have went to sleep in the first 5 minutes of the Oregon-Colorado game. I was wrong about a lot. Hey, wait till we come out with a show midweek. We're going to talk about the Alabamas. We're going to talk about the Colorados. I was wrong about a lot. I'm sorry, people. But right now, I can just be happy that my Mountaineers are 3-1.
Are we going to talk about Ryan Day? We should talk about Ryan Day. Jared.
Or should we wait till Wednesday?
No, because it'll be old by then. Ryan Day.
All right, let's do it.
Ryan Day and his Just For Men beard is so uncomfortable to watch. I don't know if it's fake and manufactured outrage. I don't know if it's, I don't know. Maybe it's not fake. Maybe it's real.
It's not real. He's terrible and he's cringy, like you said. And here's the truth. He knows he's on the hot seat. And by the way, it's just like we jumped bad with Greg Schiano on the sideline. And I said, Greg Schiano would knock all that Just For Men right out your beard, Brian Day. Let's not get it twisted. Like, that's real. But Ryan Day, he needs fired. Real talk, he needs fired.
How are you going to fire a dude who only loses one game a year, sometimes two?
Because first of all, you only play three games a year. Ohio State recruits for itself. And every time you play a team that has near your talent, you lose. You lose. Tell me the last time you played a team that has near your talent that you beat them. You lost to Michigan. You lost to Georgia. Now, granted, Georgia, you actually played well. You barely beat Notre Dame. I think you have more talent than Notre Dame. Like, I just feel like, look, this is not Jim Tressel. This is not Urban Meyer. And I know that's lofty expectations to look at. But talk to Ohio State fans. Brandon, this guy, I'm not telling you he's bad. He's just not elite. And when you're Ohio State and you can get whoever you want, you have to have elite.
My thing is,
the win against Notre Dame, and I heard him talking like Bill Stewart when Bill Stewart beat Marshall down at Marshall, and he was so proud of his team. I'm proud of these lads. And Ryan Day said,
I knew you were going to say proud of these lads. I knew
you, because you got it. If you're talking Bill Stewart, you got to say lads, okay? And then Ryan Day talks about his team. I'm proud of them. And everybody who says, stop it, you need to go. And that's the truth. He needs to go.
I heard somebody say Ryan Day has not been the same since that born on third base comment happened. And here's the truth. Ryan Day was born on third base. Somebody gave him the keys to a Ferrari and put him in a race against Mustangs. And the dude is just barely ahead. Just barely ahead in the Big Ten East. And even then, he's not ahead of Michigan, who keeps beating him. So I don't know if he needs to be fired, but he needs to step it up.
Good fortune, and good fortune to him when he plays Penn State.
Yeah. Good luck to his butt. But yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I just, Brian, and so Zane Finney, our friend, shout out to Zane Finney, a huge Buckeye fan, taught me about lots of things in college football. One of those being AAU status, something I did not know about 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago he taught me all that. Huge Ohio State fan, knows what he's talking about, gives Ryan Day a lot of grace. He asked me what's more cringy, because I put out that Ryan Day's little speech and basically threatening Lou Holtz and saying Ohio against the world was the cringiest thing I'd seen all year. He argued that Michigan student athletes, their players, wearing free Harbaugh shirts was more cringy. And I was like, it's not the same. One is a leader of a program calling out an 80-year-old dude on TV after a win that he barely won. And Jerry, you said...
Look, anytime you mention him, Brandon, I'm going to smack you if you don't say with his fake beard. Every single time you mention him.
You're not finna smack nobody, Ryan Day. Okay, first of all, I'm about to great Chiara.
It's about to get real.
You're about to get real.
Rough and rowdy, son.
Rough and rowdy.
Sign us up. Rough and rowdy, all right?
And hopefully around the 37 seconds. Besides that, you better hope.
No. Better hope. Every rail's 27 seconds.
That's it. But anyway, my thing is, it's more cringe for Ryan Day than it is for the athletes to say free their coach. Free their coach is stupid, of course, because it was a self-imposed ban, a self-imposed suspension. But it's not the same as the leader of a program coming out. And that's what I was saying. Jeremy, you were saying, his Just For Men beard, of course, you were saying that Ryan Day has better, you think that he has better players than Ohio State. He definitely has better pro players.
I just want everybody to recognize that I said I would smack him if he didn't say it again. And you see how he complied. He tried to play it off.
He knew. What happened to courtesy in the workplace. This is what happened, Ray. This is what happened.
Y'all heard it, okay? I can't make this up. Y'all heard it.
but I'm looking at recruiting rankings on a regular basis. Ohio State has significantly better recruits than Notre Dame. Regularly. On both sides of the ball. So, I just don't want to hear it. Ryan Day should be winning. And he should not be exhilarated by winning games he's supposed to win. What you did was what you ought to have done, to quote the scriptures, Ryan Day. But anyway, that's pretty much all I have for this for this episode of the Raspy Boys Kids. We will get at you with a TCU preview on Thursday. So, Jeremy, do you have anything else to say?
Let's go Mountaineers. Let's go drink some beers. What a win. What, hey, it wasn't beautiful. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't the best thing you ever seen. But a W was a W. This is pass or fail. We are 3-1.
Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.